Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. When last we left the show, Lenore actually knew the answer to a question, so to be fair, she asked for another question.
Lenore, this is akin to, you forgot to give us homework.
We'll take that 10 points.
And this week we feature a round devoted to candy, both the familiar and the unfamiliar.
Drano chews.
A short-lived candy, but, you know. Though much of what happened that day in Hartford remains a mystery, what's clear is that there's nothing like a Hartford audience.
Your feet don't smell.
Right, your feet don't smell. Your socks stay up.
So call the neighbors, wake the dog, come feel the excitement.
Moving along, let's go.
Nothing to see here.
Says You, right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Secretary of State John Kerry is praising Turkey for its response to the refugee crisis sparked by the civil war in neighboring Syria. He says Turkey has been incredibly generous to the refugees, and he repeated calls for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to step down.
I thank the foreign minister for the constant pressure that the government of Turkey has placed on the Assad regime, which, as we both have said repeatedly, must go.
Kerry spoke alongside the Turkish foreign minister in Istanbul, where he also attempted to build on efforts to normalize ties between Turkey and Israel. Istanbul is Kerry's first stop on a 10-day trip to the Middle East, Europe, and Asia. He's due to be in Israel later today. While he was in Istanbul, Kerry also visited the U.S. consulate, where he mourned the death in Afghanistan of a young American diplomat. She and five other Americans were killed in two separate attacks this weekend. NPR's Sean Carberry reports.
25-year-old Ann Smettinghoff was traveling with a U.S. provincial reconstruction team in Zabul province. They were on the way to donate books to an Afghan school when a suicide bomber detonated a vehicle. Officials believe the intended target was the governor of Zabul, who was passing by in a separate convoy. Smettinghoff had served as a press officer in the Kabul embassy since last summer. The Chicago native assisted Secretary of State Kerry during his recent visit to Kabul. In a statement, Kerry mourned the loss of an officer he said was deeply committed to making a difference. The blast also killed three U.S. troops, a Defense Department civilian, and several Afghans. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
Afghan civilians are reported dead in a NATO airstrike. A local official says at least 11 people were killed, the majority of them children. The airstrike occurred this weekend during a gun battle with Taliban militants. Civilian deaths are a long-standing source of friction between NATO and Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Tomorrow night's NCAA final in men's basketball is set. It'll be Michigan going up against number one seed Louisville. NPR's Mike Pesca looks ahead to the title game.
Though Louisville and Michigan both have storied histories, Louisville hasn't won a national championship since 1986. Michigan hasn't won one since 1989. Their matchup on Monday is going to be a contrast in styles. Louisville was second in the country in steals this year, but no team takes care of the basketball better than Michigan. And then let's look at three-point shooting. Michigan held Syracuse to only three three-pointers made in 14 attempts. Louisville, in their defeat of Wichita State, was able to hit five key second-half three-pointers, one of the many keys to the national championship game on Monday. Mike Pesca, NPR News, Atlanta.
The two teams in the women's basketball final will be determined today when Connecticut faces Notre Dame and Louisville takes on California. The women's championship game Tuesday night in New Orleans. You're listening to NPR News.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack from Car Talk. You know, running a radio station like this is expensive. You have to pay for the programs.
The lights, the heat.
The hazardous waste cleanup to get the cigar stink out of the studio when my brother leaves.
It runs into money.
It certainly does. Nashville Public Radio is your source for NPR news.
They also air Car Talk, but don't hold that against them.
And right now, Nashville Public Radio needs your help to balance the books. Please make your pledge now at 760-2010 or at WPLN.org.
And thanks.
Thank you, Tom and Ray. 30-second spot there, and he still snorted. It is membership week at Nashville Public Radio, the spring membership campaign. We're going to Says You. In just a few moments, you'll not miss a second of the program this morning. Just time to remind you that we need your support. We need listener dollars to keep this station on the air and in good stead for you in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. The number to call with your pledge this morning, 760-2010. Call now, 760-2010. Toll free to Nashville, if it's long distance for you, is 866-760-2010. You can pledge online at WPLN.org. We are raising money to pay for programs like Says You, none of which is free. Member dollars are our largest and most important source of funding here. We've got three drawings coming up this week during the spring membership campaign. The first one coming up tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock for a $1,000 gift card to Target. That's tomorrow evening at 7. Then Wednesday evening, a drawing for a $1,500 shopping spree to the mall at Green Hills. And we'll wrap up our membership campaign this time around at 6 p.m. Friday with a drawing for a trip for two to Paris. We'd love for you to be a part of those drawings, to be a part of this station. As a supporting member, you can also enter the drawings without pledging. The number to call is 760-2010. Go on the website, WPLN.org, for all the details. You'll see all of our thank you gifts pictured and described there as well. WPLN.org. Thanks.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You at St. Joseph College comes from the Noah Webster House and West Hartford Historical Society. On the web at noahwebsterhouse.org. And Merriam-Webster, publishers of Webster's Third International Dictionary. On the web at merriam-webster.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. From the Hoffman Auditorium in the Brewitt Athenaeum at St. Joseph College in West Hartford, Connecticut, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's a two-fisted, rough-and-tumble, rock-em-sock-em kind of guy, Tony Khan. Jeez. She's a well-turned-out, state-of-the-art, off-the-cuff thinker, Lenore Shannon. And he's a font of all knowledge, a treasure trove of information, and a sight for sore eyes, Mr. Barry Nolan. And who's the captain tonight?
The off-the-cuff Lenore.
Lenore.
I am your captain.
We'll be the captain. Yes. To my left, team two, you could search the whole world over and never find another like him. Nature is kind that way. Arnie Reisman. You could never find another of such wit and soul with a dash of sass on the side. Carolyn Faye Fox. And who'd believe that this elegant, elegant woman is the baddest bluffer on the block, Miss Paula Lyons. Who steps up this week?
Nature boy. Mr. Uniqueness himself.
Arnold.
Just call me Neek. Yeah.
We'll be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and pencil.
A pen and pencil.
And
fight it out.
Doodle in the air.
That's right. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations.
Okay.
For 5 points, define, and for an additional five, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
I'll be a monkey's uncle. Mm-hmm. Well, I can barely believe it. Gosh darn.
Yeah.
It's meant to show belief, disbelief.
Yes,
that's
disbelief.
Just, that's 5 points.
Uncle.
It's to show disbelief of evolution.
I'll be the uncle of a monkey. You know, as
in other words, that's so preposterous that I can't believe it.
If you're right, then evolution is right.
Well, they're right. So it would have come from, of course. What time period?
What time? Well, oh. The late 19th century or early? Yeah. So it's.
Yeah, you know what? Ten points.
William Jennings Bryan?
No, actually.
Didn't it come from a song, Richard? It was a song that was written and sung and popularized by people who were anti Darwinian.
Well, it's the whole thing about Darwin. Yeah, I didn't know it was a song. That we didn't get that reference. We had that.
It was a movie too.
Are you serious?
Yeah. What?
Oh no, he is serious.
Do you remember any?
My rendition. You want to hear my rendition of "I'll Be a Monkey's
Uncle"? Ladies and gentlemen,
I'll be a monkey's uncle.
He crooned it.
Yeah. I'll be a monkey's uncle if you'll be my aunt tonight.
Huh? Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
Ape.
And sometime after Charles Darwin's theories of evolution were first published, people considered it so laughable and incredible that many people began using this phrase to show the absurdity of it. So it does. It's late 19th century, and it's in response to Darwin. Try this one, Tony. Definition and derivation of always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Ah. Ah, sad, bittersweet memories of high school.
High school?
You're always coming close, and you perhaps the implication is you have the kind of personality everybody else likes, but not enough to want to marry you.
Yes, that's
so
very
you're
much...
kind of like a wallflower in a pink dress. A bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yes,
and I believe it comes from an advertising campaign in the 50s for... Now, what the heck was the product? Jell-O?
He's absolutely right. It's actually before that.
It's Clairol.
No, this goes back away. You're right.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Stockings? Hosiery?
Hair product?
No. It goes back to the 1920s, actually.
Oh, does
back that far.
Oh, liquor.
Liquor.
Yeah, right.
Liquor.
Drink more, marry more.
Yeah. What about Well, if you're always a bridesmaid, never a bride, could it be toothpaste or something?
You're getting very close.
Hair was big
hair
in the 20s.
Removal?
No, you're getting very close with the toothpaste, though.
Mouthwash. Mouthwash.
Mouthwash is exactly right. It's Listerine.
Listerine.
I think Miss Lyons had made quite a contribution to that. But yes, it goes back to the 1920s Listerine ad,
wow,
which implied a halitotic connection to romantic success. So that's how that, you were always a bridesmaid, never a bride, because we couldn't stand within 3 feet of you. That's
right.
How that goes.
It was the reverse of the Liz Taylor ad, always a bride, never a bridesmaid.
Try this one. I love finding this one out. I don't know if you'll get it, but, you know, give it a shot, Arnie. To be on good footing with.
Good footing. Well, that's to be friends with, to be in a good
position,
relationship with someone else.
Yes.
And I would assume it means, does it have anything to do with balance?
Mountain climbing?
No. I will say, I'll give you the 5 points. It also means to be pleasantly allied to others, so it implies
some
sort of... good relationship.
So, that was interesting.
Mountain climbing.
Does it have anything to do with a sport?
No, not really.
Not with a duel?
No. Ooh.
Duel. Oh, good footing.
Good footing.
Uh-huh.
Well, does it refer then to architectural footings?
That was what I thought. No, it isn't.
Okay,
but
it's
very figurative meanings of footing.
We're not talking iambic pentameter.
You're in step with? Does it have the same kind of context?
No, it does not. That's a great guess. So you're going to get points for these.
Okay.
Nothing to do with James Brown.
Nothing that I
Michael
know.
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Is it to do with human feet?
Yes, it does.
In terms of posture, standing.
A right one and a left one.
It has everything to do with human feet.
Good footing is like being a good... standing.
Yours is a good fit.
You fit into someone else's shoes.
You fit into their life like
your
feet
don't smell.
Right, your feet don't smell. Your socks stay up.
We've ridden this one right off.
Yeah,
the
Yeah, right. Before it gets any worse.
Yeah,
kill it.
It does have to do with the human foot. Anybody?
Oh, you
the
toe
other
the line.
It has to do with toes also.
Anything to do with dancing?
Let's see.
Ballet.
No, anyone on the other side?
Dancing.
Does it have anything to do with walking in somebody's footsteps to
That's what I just
keep
said.
No?
Things quiet?
No? Anyone in the audience know?
Standing on tiptoe?
What? I'm sorry?
Trapeze?
No?
Trapeze?
No?
Military?
Listen to this. In many cultures, There is the practice of letting the length of the middle toe determine your standing in the community.
Exactly. Oh.
The longer the middle toe, the higher you are in the community.
Which communities are this?
Yeah.
The ones that don't need shoes.
That is the most likely derivation. Some say it comes from the tradition of apprentices footing the bill at the local tavern after a work day so that they can impress the masters and the journeymen. But most people think it is from the practice of letting the length of the middle toe determine your standing in the community.
Are those cultures now extinct?
No, they're everywhere. So that's what they say, and I'm sure I'll get lots of...
Did we get any points?
Yes, give them 7 points for that. That's a good one.
To our Winions.
Try this one, Lenore. To blow hot and cold.
To blow hot and cold signifies a moodiness in a person where they can very easily get excited or cool down in the same instant.
Yes. To waver.
Mercurial.
Mercurial. Yes.
And to blow hot, so where did it derive from, is, I don't know.
Central heating.
Not central heating.
Okay, so when you, blowing hot.
Blowing hot and cold. This has a specific origin. This has a very specific origin. And usually when we say these things, you know, where does it come from? What's the first guess?
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare is always the first guess, but it's not Shakespeare.
Oh.
It's not Shakespeare. This is the second guess.
The Bible. The Bible, then.
Not the Bible, no.
Okay.
Not
Homer?
No, but no. You're...
Getting close?
Yeah.
Marge?
No, not Marge.
Marge. Jethro, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm getting close when I'm on Homer?
Yeah.
Plato. Socrates.
Oh, I'm just going to put an end to this.
We've named them all. We've named them. Aristotle Onassis.
Audience, if it doesn't come from Shakespeare, where does it come from?
Aesop.
Aesop's Fables is right. But do you know the fable? See if you can get some more points on this.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that your breath can be both hot and cold,
yes,
depending upon whether your hand is dry or it has water?
You know, he's exactly right. That's very good, Tony. It does have... Your breath can blow hot and cold. Exactly. And
it comes from the fable of the blowhard.
In a way, it comes from the story of the satyr's dinner guest who blew upon his fingers to warm them when he came in from the cold,
right,
and blew upon his soup to make it cooler,
uh-huh,
leading the satyr to denounce the man for blowing hot and cold with the same mouth.
And I was asked that question.
There you go.
Good job.
Paula, definition and derivation of blockbuster.
Well, a blockbuster is a smash hit, but I don't think we've talked about the derivation in mm-hmm. the past. So is this from a karate, where they literally bust the block?
No, that's not
okay,
it. It's a sensationally huge extravaganza, a blockbuster.
Yeah,
that's
blockbuster.
5 points.
Yeah.
Bust the block.
I know. Does that have to do with the city block?
It does.
It does. So it's like it's something of epic proportions that's coming down the street.
Well, more or less, yeah.
Yeah.
And people wait in line all the way around the block.
Or was a parade
a blockbuster? The crowd is thick along the block.
Was a parade?
No, it's not like that. It has to do with the city block, of course. And
it's urban renewal.
Well, it would be... That would be required, probably.
So there's such a big crowd lining up to see this fantastic event that they cause property destruction and a whole city block? What?
No.
Doesn't that have to do with
something
demolition?
Causing demolition?
It has a lot to do with demolition.
Okay, it has to do with blowing up a building.
Well,
explosion.
Yes.
Bringing the house down.
Bringing the house down, the same kind of
Well,
concept.
You know, you're 9 points there, Philomene.
We're 9 points
this
there.
This comes from the war.
It does.
These were huge German bombs that would level an entire block during the Blitz.
That's exactly what it was.
Wow.
Very good,
Guy.
It's
kind of scary when
but
you still. Think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, from World War II,
9 points.
A blockbuster was a bomb that could level
nine.
An entire block. So 9 points for your effort. And finally, Barry, definition and derivation of ballpark estimate.
Ballpark estimate is an educated guess as to what a particular number may be. And one of the things that sportscasters were famous for were sitting there as a game began on radio and going, ladies and gentlemen, the attendance tonight is about 28,600 people.
Okay, 10 points. Yes, very good. It wasn't exactly the sportscasters. Do you know who might give slightly rounded estimates of ballpark crowds?
The owners. The
ushers. The ushers.
No, Paula is exactly right.
Owners,
it is the owners.
Guy,
I want you to think it's loaded to the gills. Right?
Yeah, this goes back to early baseball. Attendance at open stadiums was hard for news reporters to reckon, so team owners, anxious to foster the idea of great success, would give slightly inflated estimates, close but generous, in order to encourage business. And that's how we got the phrase, a ballpark estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, you guys. Thanks for playing that round. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the International String Trio. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls will have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Lenore's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Lenore if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word shotten. S-H-O-T-T-E-N. Shotten. Gentlemen?
Making plans to go to Stowe, Vermont, Saturday, April 20th, to the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center for a live performance of the show. But even as that show nears capacity, a second performance has taken wing, Sunday, April 21st, at the Bellows Falls Opera House in Bellows Falls, Vermont. Tickets, information, and details for both performances are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So should late April find you amid green mountains, join the gang for a live performance. That's Saturday, April 20th at Stowe, Vermont, or Sunday, April 21st in Bellows Falls. Two cheesy interludes with Says You. Says You returns after this from home. Seattle for selling out our June shows at Town Hall. And now we're announcing a third performance, a Community Says You, Friday night, June 21st in Port Townsend, to benefit the Clemente Course for the Humanities. We hope you'll turn out as local players and Says You team captains join together to support the program. Tickets, information, and details are available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. So remember, that's Friday, June 21st in Fort Townsend, Washington. A community says you.
Wow!
Yeah. The International String Trio. That is Ippai Ichimuro on the bass, Jacob Trasik on the violin, and the immortal Slava Tolstoy on guitar. Thank you, guys. Take me a minute here to thank our scorekeepers. Would you please thank Lauren Miller, the Director of Cultural Satellite Services at the Greater Hartford Arts Council, sitting next to Says You's own Benjamin Scherr. Thank you very much for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word schatten. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Schatten. In Boston, to hem a pair of pants or skirt.
That's a good one.
Actually, the definition is quite simple and curious. Schatten means frog-shaped.
Frog-shaped.
Tadpolean.
Croquesque.
Yeah. Our logo is tadpolean, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Croquesque.
Frog-shaped. Not a lot of call for the word schatten,
no.
But if you need it, you got
That's
it.
That's why we haven't heard it before.
I guess. Schatten, it means frog-shaped. Well, it could, or it could mean something else. Arnold?
Yes, it's a verb, a slang verb. I guess it must be from, I think it's originally from horse racing, for a horse's second outing after a disappointing run. It now basically means to do over, to revise, make another attempt.
A do-over.
Yes.
Is a schatten.
To schatten.
To schatten is to do it over.
Right.
Got it wrong the first time. Time to schatten.
Apparently.
Well, it could be that, or it could be something else. Paula, what say you?
Well, actually, this is a lovely word. A literally lovely word. It just means tired in a real nice way, because it's very polite on the card. It says schatten, exhausted from a recent romantic encounter.
Shatten, man.
Tired from a recent romantic encounter. I'm all shotten.
I'm all shotten.
Started off the day, you know, but now I'm all shotten. Okay, that could be it. It could be the do-over that Arnie espoused. Or, you know, frog shape doesn't sound as bad as it did before, does it? It's one of those three, and the choice, Lenore, is yours.
I'm just suggesting to Lenore that since you're the guy who chooses these.
Right, which you must always, one must always go back.
If something like this were on the written page, it would leap right out at me, and I'd say, I've got to use it. But frog-shaped, somehow, it's just
it
so...
just, it leaps out at yeah. one, no pun.
And maybe there's a kind of jewelry, or there's a...
Might be sort of Inca going back to when. Right. Barry, what do you think?
Schatten and bling.
I think words arise because there's some use for them.
Oh, silly boy. And when I think, we need to come up with a word for frog shapes. What would that be? A frog? That could work.
Okay, it's
I'd go
do-over.
With exhausted.
You'd go
with exhausted.
You'd do exhausted, or you would... Okay, Tony?
I'm holding out for frog shape.
All right, now we've got a real problem.
That's why we made you the book.
Yes. Okay, so, but then, of course, you say to go for exhausted, but exhausted from a romantic encounter. Why would one need...
One's old, that's why one needs it.
You do it. And where would you express that concern, and to whom would you?
Daily, shortly after breakfast.
I think we've chased that avenue.
There'll be no television commercials featuring him on a beach in a bathtub. Okay, I think it's to do over as in a horse race.
All right. You look exhausted.
Okay, shotten, it does sort of sound spent. No, do over as in a horse race. I'm going to be wrong.
Arnold, the captain has her head in her hands, actually. While she listens to your answer, she has thought that shotten is a do-over. Tell her what the situation is.
Please fake a definition.
Yeah.
Please fake
a
definition.
It's frog-shaped, isn't it?
Well, let's ask the audience. Audience, you got a 50-50 shot. What do you think? How many say frog-shaped? How many say exhausted after a romantic encounter? Okay. Well, I don't even think that's real close. I think that the romantic encounter is winning out. I'm so sorry.
He says.
I think the romantic encounter is winning out. Paula, that was your definition. Is that, in fact, what it means?
Shotten. Exhausted from a recent romantic encounter.
All right, way to go, audience. Barry gets the I told you.
Well, obviously, Tony and I, despite our protestations, are not familiar with that term.
The consequence of too many shots?
Let us go on to round three, a round of sweet and low. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the confection I have in mind. Ooh. An example where Aries hangs out is, of course, Mars bars.
Mars bars.
Okay, so you get where we're going here? All right.
Sort of, kind of.
Try this one, Carolyn. Mm. The confection brought to mind by the clue, connection in Mr. Charles's brain.
Connection in Mr. Charles's brain.
It's not Charleston Chew.
Is it Ray Charles?
Connection.
Mr. Charles's brain.
Ooh. Connection.
I'm thinking chocolate-covered synapse, and I know that's not right.
I was going for Ray Wave.
No, I think it's Ray Wave. Ginger synapse.
Ray.
Oh,
I have no
Ray
idea.
Ray
bands, but those are sunglasses.
They're getting it. The connection.
Ray cells.
Raisins.
Raisinettes.
Raisinettes is right. Can you parse that out for them?
My goodness. Raisin.
Other side, help them out.
What's has to do with reason?
Raise synapse.
Raise synapse.
That's too big of a stretch. I boo that.
Boo.
Boo.
Boo. That's the spirit. Now we got it going. They get a total of 8 points for that.
8 points? Okay.
All right, settle down over there.
All right.
He did it.
Try this one, Tony. This
peanut brittle.
No, not peanut brittle. Confection brought to mind by the clue, sinks a tiny, tiny boat.
Sinks a tiny, tiny craft?
What's the thing when you put a hole in the...
Lifesaver.
No, you open the thing in the bottom of the boat.
Drain?
You don't want the other guys to capture it. In the military, in the Navy, when they...
Drano chews.
They're capturing your submarine.
A short-lived candy, but, you know.
Drano chews. Deliberately sinks a tiny, tiny boat.
You open the thing yourself in the boat when you've been captured.
And what's that called?
And that's called...
Plug.
His face has turned three shades.
But what candy is it? What candy is it?
Don't worry about the candy. Think of the term of the naval term first.
But I can't think of that.
No.
So
I'm
going to go with random naval.
Well, thinking of candies at random is not going to help.
Sometimes it does.
Okay. Fudge.
Red hot. Red hot.
I don't know.
Hot tamales.
No,
it's scallop. It's something that starts with an S.
It does.
What is it when you sink your own boat?
Flotsam juice.
No. Audience, this is too agonizing.
Yeah.
Skittles.
Skittles.
Scuttles.
Scuttle the boat.
Skittles.
If you scuttle a regular boat, a tiny, tiny boat, you skittle. So that's...
Scuttle. I got the word.
Boy.
Try this one, Arnie.
Yeah?
Phrase to which one might respond, Danke, darling.
Payday?
Payday?
I don't know what your house like.
Thank you.
Danke, darling. Well, Barry has it.
You
Barry does
marvelous
have
marvelous bar.
Right.
It's an obvious combination of languages here.
Yeah. Obvious. It's so obvious.
Danke, darling.
So what has a German ending?
Possible yeah, response to Danke, darling.
Milk dud?
No.
That was my nickname in college.
I was Junior Mintz.
Is that it, Junior Mintz?
No.
We're
just taking wild guesses.
Reese's Pieces.
Just taking wild guesses.
Yes, we are.
I don't think we're going to get it.
I got it, yeah.
You got it? What do you think it is?
Bitter Honey.
Bitter Honey.
Bitter Honey. Bitter Honey. Bitter Honey. Bitter Honey.
Gotcha.
Moving along.
Let's go.
Nothing to see here. Come on.
Lenore. How the lisping pugilist practices.
The lisping pugilist.
Practices.
Swing. Something.
Mr. Goodbar. I don't know.
Spawing.
Well, in a way.
What is it?
Spar.
Spar.
Clark Spar.
Skarks. Clark Spar.
Oh.
Oh.
You got the spar part.
Spar.
Well, so it's bar. It's something bar. And so we think of the different bar. Heath Bar.
Heath Bar is exactly right. Heath Bar.
Heath Bar.
That's how a lisping pugilist practices. Heath Bar.
Moving along.
Heath Bar.
You can boo all you want. There's two more here.
Keep going.
Try this one, Paula.
That was hard.
Let's go.
Stickers that sound like doves, perhaps.
Okay.
Stickers.
That sound like doves.
Coo.
Cuckoo platter. No. Cocoa puffs.
Cuckoo.
No.
Charleston coo.
No.
Coo.
Stickers. Label coo.
You got this one too?
Decal coo.
Decal?
Labels.
Different kinds of stickers than you're thinking of.
Oh, like burrs?
Goobers.
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 Yes.
Is exactly right. Oh, the bell's giving out. There it is.
The bell's giving out.
Coobers, yes.
Coobers.
Are stickers that sound like doves. They're coobers.
Whoa.
Coobers.
Yeah.
And finally.
And let's close it with the worst one of all. Barry Pot. That was an ugly groan from the back of the room. Yeah. Barry, possible answer to how romantic will she get?
Oh.
How romantic will she get? And this is the answer to that question.
Yes.
Before she's totally shot.
How romantic?
Is that sweet and low.
What do you think?
Get 10 points.
Not what I had in mind. I had something a little bit more chocolate in mind. You want to give it a shot?
Take it, Lenore.
Hershey Kisses is exactly right. I'm glad I gave you the 10 points. Hershey Kisses.
I think Sweet and Low is better.
I think he thinks Sweet and Low is better. So do I, actually. So 10 points for that. Very good.
You don't want to know the things we came up with over here.
No, don't want to hear it. Let us go on to round 4, which is Lenore's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Arnold. if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word soup.
Soup.
S-U-P-E.
S-U-P-E.
Soup.
Soup.
That's the guy in my building who fixes everything.
Gentlemen?
Soup,
says thanks to the Greater Hartford Arts Council, which supports more than 150 art and heritage organizations in Greater Hartford alone, on the web at letsgoarts.com. Thanks also to the First Niagara Bank for its support of the arts in the community. This week says you enjoyed the hospitality of St. Joseph College in West Hartford, liberal arts education and a culture of achievement and collaboration. On the web at sjc.edu. Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. Says You Spring Tour Northern Tier Statements stops in Stowe, Vermont, Saturday, April 20th, for a live performance at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe, Vermont. Then on Sunday, April 21st, it's a matinee at the Bellows Falls Opera House in Bellows Falls, Vermont. Then in June, we're off to Port Townsend, Washington for our final stop of the season, A Community Says You. If you want tickets, if you want information, if you want details for any of these performances, they can be had at saysyou.net. And here's what else you can do while you're there. You can contribute a question to the show. You can tell us what you think. Or you can start looking ahead to Mother's Day and Father's Day. Perfect remembrance might just be a volume of Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You. All of this and more on our website at saysyou.net. S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Thanks, you guys. We have had a few moments with the word soup. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, Richard, I think
This word is based on the story that we have all heard of the would-be actor who gets his first chance, a walk-on with one line on Broadway. There is a sound of a pistol shot in the background, and he's supposed to come out and say, "Hark, I hear a pistol shot." And he practices and practices and practices. How should I say it? "Hark, I hear a pistol shot." No, "Hark, I hear a pistol shot. Hark, I hear a pistol shot." I think that's it. Well, finally he says, "What the heck? I'll just trust my instinct." So he comes on stage and he says, "Shark, I fear a hissel pot. Park, I near a shissel pot. Oh, the hell with it." And he walks off, and that's the end of his career. A soup is an actor without a speaking part.
Yeah. So if he'd have been a soup, he'd have been a lot better off.
He'd been. That's how he ended up, finally.
Okay.
He souped it.
An actor with no speaking part is a soup.
Isn't that an extra? Well,
it could be.
Yeah, cheap labor.
Or it could be something else. Lenore, what's a soup?
Well, it's someone that shows up at your house as a visitor right before you're going to go to bed. So you tucked in for the night, and the doorbell rings, and it's, oh, God, they're here. A soup is an annoyance, an annoying visitor.
An annoying visitor.
Yeah. But,
so I've often been a soup at your house.
Yes, actually. both on the phone and in person.
Yeah, that's true. It could be that. Or, Barry, something else.
Soup, S-U-P-E, is Campbell's new salt-free alphabet soup for underachievers.
No, I don't think so.
There goes that sponsorship.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, and we were close to that one.
Yeah.
Actually, a soup is to make a temporary fix. Soup, to make a temporary fix.
To make a temporary fix is to soup it. It could be that. It could be that annoying visitor, or it could be an actor without a speaking role. It's one of those three, and the choice, Arnold, is yours.
So we're thinking make a temporary fix, which is lovely, Barry. We love it very much. Is that a play on a super or?
I don't know.
I kind of like that.
You like that. And Carolyn?
I don't know. I think it might be Lenore.
And you're thinking?
My thinking is that she spent a lot of time sort of dilly-dallying around about being tucked
annoying
in and
guest.
All that, and then got to the point that it was an annoying visitor.
And what was Tony's again?
A non-speaking
an actor.
Who
should be an extra, really?
Should
I mean,
be
it's
an extra.
Let's see. I'm going with Carolyn because you were right last time.
We think,
or at least two of us do, that is Lenore.
Lenore, they have come to the conclusion that a soup is an annoying guest or visitor. Is that, in fact, what a soup is?
When your doorbell rings at midnight, there'll be no soup there. Please make up a definition.
Oh, okay. All
you right. did make up a definition. Right. We turn to the audience. Audience, what's your choice? How many say the no speaking part? How many say to make a temporary fix? Well, I don't think it's even close. Barry, the audience thinks it's to make a temporary fix. Is that, in fact, what soup means?
All those nice people were wrong.
It does not, because it actually means...
Shark, I fear a histol pot.
Oh, my God. Really? Well, sorry. No.
An actor without a speaking part.
Is a soup.
And
10 points.
That must come from the old, before you were called an extra, you were called a supernumerary.
There you go.
Oh, I
10
see.
Points.
Oh, when they have brains.
It
would
have been helpful if you told us that a few minutes ago.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yep. Let's go on to round five. Let's close tonight. Many years ago, we had a bluffing word, grolix. Remember Grolix?
Yes.
The string of punctuation marks that denotes bad language in
comic
strips.
Yeah.
That's what a Grolix is.
Oh.
Turns out that was only one of many terms for comical behavior. 10 points for correctly defining each of the following cartoonerisms. For example, agitrons,
Agitrons.
I find them in the washing machine.
Yes.
They're not all swear words or something?
No, no, no. Oh, an agitron?
Is that those little diacritical marks like that denote trembling?
Yes. It's wiggly lines around a shaking object.
Yeah.
Are agitrons.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Agitrons.
Wow.
You're going to love this one. This is great. Couldn't believe we found this.
All right.
Try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
What might be meant by endotherms?
Endotherms?
I-N-D-O-T-H-E-R-M-S. Endotherms. What might be
meant? Something that indicates the heat.
Something indicates heat.
Yeah? Yeah, like definitely. Little steam squiggles.
Steam squiggles?
Yep, that's exactly
steam
right. They're the wavy rising lines used to denote heat or steam, and they're called endotherms.
Love that.
All right. Try this one, Tony. Soul rads.
Soul rads?
S-O-L-R-A-D-S.
That would be the radiant energy of the sun hitting you. So those lines that come out of the sun that I mastered that in the first grade.
That's also from a light bulb or anything else like that. That's exactly right. It's light lines emanating from a light source to indicate radiance are soul rads.
Yeah.
Now we'll get a little harder, but we'll keep going here. Try this one, Arnie. Swallops.
Swallops?
S-W-A-L-L-O-P-S. Swallops.
Is that like the
bulging
muscles?
Lines in the neck that show someone swallowing
swallowing
something?
Hard?
No, but
gulping?
You get points for that. It's a great guess. No?
It's not gulping. It's not like a human, like a face.
No.
Swallops.
You'll love hearing the answer to this. You'll love the answer.
Swallowing.
Is it to do with wallop?
Well, you're going to get some points. That's not really it. I don't want to throw you off.
All right. Well, any other ideas?
Swallops.
Is it
little stars around something?
No, there's another one for that, but I'm saving that for a bluffing round.
Okay.
All right. We give up.
They give up. Any help from the other side? Anyone to try it?
It's not this little bird thing?
No?
No.
You want to guess, audience?
Hitting
well,
that's what
it,
I said.
It's from hitting someone, but it's actually curved lines around a character's moving limbs to show movement.
Well, it has something to do with wallops.
Yeah, it does have something to do with wallops, so give them 6 points for that. I think that's fair. Try this one, Lenore. Staggeration.
No.
Oh.
S-T-A-G-G-E-R-A-T-I-O-N. Staggeration.
Oh,
what might that
well,
be?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of Tintin and the last cartoon I read, which is probably...
But would it maybe have to do with the shape of the mark that you're staggering something? So, you know, like maybe like rays of
Is it several
lightning.
Panels in one panel? Does it?
No,
is
not it.
Okay.
Is it something in the that indicates the character's sense of confusion and disorientation?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a little kind of whirlwind
around your head that indicate.
Oh, like little pinwheels and.
No, not that. I'm going to give you some
stars.
Points.
Stars?
No. I don't think they have it. Anybody I want to guess on
it's
the other
like
side?
It's like the animation of staggering backwards. I mean,
that
kind of
in
pixelation.
A way,
parallel lines?
No, it's the dotted line tracing the path of an inebriated character.
Oh, okay.
It's the staggeration. So you had some elements of that. Give them 4 points for that. 4 points is plenty for that.
That's previous movement.
Yeah. And these last two are very hard, but there is a way to get them, so I want you to try this.
Just cheat.
If you can't anything else.
Okay, let's cheat.
Paula Pludes.
Pludes?
Spell it.
Pludes. P-L-E-W-D-S. Pludes.
P-L-E-W-E-S.
Is it the puffs of someone's breath?
Ooh,
what a
nice.
Great guess. It is not.
Oh,
I'm giving
not
you points
the,
for
it's
that.
It's not the balloon over their head where all the words are.
It's not like... trudging through snow or something like that? Or
no, it's not that. Pludes. I'm giving you points, though, because the breath was great.
So you said there was a way to get this.
Yes, there is. It's an odd connection, but it's what does it sound like?
Plead. It sounds like the past tense of plead.
Pludes.
What does it sound like? Blowing out, breathing out.
Pludes.
The
pludes.
No, I don't think
steam, smoke, anything?
I'm going to give you some points, but I don't think that's it. Other side, you want to give it a shot?
Is it when several frames go by with no dialogue to show some...
No, that's not it at all. Audience, you want to take a guess? No. A sweat. is exactly right. From the audience.
Sweat.
It is flying sweat droplets around a character's heads. It made me think
really?
Of raining, sweat pluvial, droplets. That kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
So
wow.
I thought of flying sweat droplets to show stress, strain, or hard work.
Yeah. Oh.
Are pludes. And finally, Barry, give them, I don't know, 4 points for that. And wait a minute, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Give them 3 points for that.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah. Just try this, Barry. Briffits. B-R-I-F-F-I-T-S. Briffits.
Briffits
anything
are...
Anything to suggest time passing?
In an odd way, yes.
Like dots, you know, between one panel and the next.
You're getting points for that, too. No, it's not that.
Briffits are things that signify the brief duration of something.
Yes, they do.
And the circumstances under which a cartoon character
yep.
needs to indicate the brief duration of something.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to give them one hint, and I'm just going to see if you can do this. Think Wile E. Coyote.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's the lines
and
going
the road down. Runner.
It's the lines
the
going
road runner.
Down, indicating... You know, falling after thinking that you're walking on thin air.
The briffet indicates when the roadrunner has fallen out of the frame and the things come up that indicate the roadrunner has fallen in a way that
is not
made
good.
An impression on him.
That's, you know, they're very close. Give them 4 points for their effort. Anybody want to guess?
It's not the...
No?
It's not the cloud of smoke caused by the speeding away?
That's exactly what it is,
yeah.
Arnold. Very good. That is exactly what it is. They are the clouds of dust that hang in the spot recently vacated by a fleeing character. Phew! 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 And the briffets.
Excellent.
And the briffets stay behind. That was a great guess, Arnold. Too bad it wasn't for you because it meant you fell 3 points short. The winners this week, Lenore Shannon's team, 76 points. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Chris Dobbs and all the folks at the Noah Webster House for making our trip so much fun. And to Dr. Bob Smith, to Howard Kirstner, to Laura Falker, and all the folks here at St. Joseph College for being such gracious hosts. Scher and Salkind are the writers. Antonio Oliart mans the meters. And Zach Moore is soon to be a college graduate. Once every few weeks... We remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and when you show up. Thank you, Hartford, for showing up. See you next week.
Support for SEJU at St. Joseph College comes from the Noah Webster House and West Hartford Historical Society. On the web at noahwebsterhouse.org. And Merriam-Webster, publishers of Webster's Third International Dictionary, on the web at merriam-webster.com. You can hear SEJU again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SEJU.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Says you. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Boston.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.